Continuing in the Zemir of Komakadi Shvi, so today we'll learn through the next two stanzas and then read them inside together just to get shot before we go a little deeper. So the Zemir goes, Av Hashem Mechakim B'Binyan Ariel, that those who love Hashem are waiting for the Binyan Ariel. That's a reference to the Binyan, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There's an interesting footnote on the bottom here why it's called Ariel. Ariel is an Aryeh, a lion. So why is the Beis HaMikdash called a lion? So if you look at the footnote in the bottom, Yud Beis here, just again, Pashup Shop, the Mishnah in Maseches Midos tells us that just like a lion, it's very wide from the front, like its face, the mane, right, is very wide, and the hair, it sticks out. And as you go to the back of the lion, it gets very narrow and skinny. So that's the image of the Beis HaMikdash. When you walk in, it's very wide, it's very big and grand. And as you go in further, deeper towards the Kodesh Kodashim, it gets much more narrow, like the image of a lion. So that's why it's called at least one shot, why it's called an Ariel. Now, Biyom, further on, the Zemer says, Biyom, Hashabbos Kodesh, Sisu v'Simcha, we're rejoicing, K'mekabli Mata Nachlia, we're so happy as the day when we accepted Nachlia, which is a reference to Kabbalah's HaTorah. That's where the Pasuk says, Nachla, Nachlia, is where we accepted the Torah. So we're happy on Shabbos as if the day we were at Har Sinai. Gam su yudeichem kodesh, we're lifting up our holy hands. V'imru l'kel, we're saying to Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we're thanking Hashem, Hashem Nason, Menucha l'Amo Yisrael, we're thanking Hashem for giving us this day of rest. And then the next stanza is, Dor she Hashem zer Avram o'avo. Those who seek out Hashem are the children of Avram. So, ha'ma'achim lates min ha'shabbos, those who delay the finishing of Shabbos, u'mimaharim lavo, and those who are quick to bring in Shabbos, u'smeichin l'shamra, we're very happy in its preserving of Shabbos, u'l'arev eruvo, and setting up an eruv, eruv tichumim, eruv tavshilin, eruv chatzeros, zeh ayom, asa Hashem, this is the day Hashem, nagil v'nismachavo, we're going to rejoice. So that's just a pashup shot. There are a lot of questions here to understand what was going on when he put together this Zemer. So you go now to the next page. This is page number 3. So number 1 on this page, he asks a question. Yesh ledaktik, this is the Shevet Miyehuda. Madu nakat bivinin Ariel, v'arei hayal lomar levinin Ariel. When you're waiting for something, you say you're waiting levinin. You're waiting for the building of the Binyan. Livinyan would be the more appropriate grammar to use. Bivinyan is a very strange language. So what's pshat? So what he explains here is, Biram bin inan beis hamikdash kvar omed. The beis hamikdash already exists. It's already built up in Shemaim. It's up there. Al mechono b'shemayim. It's prepared. Vanu mitzapim liroso b'einenu. We're just waiting to see it. It's just about exposing it, revealing what exists. V'lachein amma harpayit. Bivinyan Ariel, not Livinyan, because the building took place already. The building's done. Dehainu Bivinyan Habanoi Kvar Bamarum. So what he's referencing here is to a Machlokas Rashi and Rambam, how Bai Shlishi is going to come into this world. Rambam is of the opinion that we're actually going to build it. It's not built yet. We are the ones going to build it. In fact, according to some within the Rambam, we're not actually going to build it. We are going to hire non-Jews to do the building. But it's going to be built by man. It's not built yet. But Rashi, the famous Shita Rashi, a couple places in Shas, says the Bai Shlishi is going to come down from Shemayim. So it's already built. We're just waiting to see it. Now, I was learning this piece here. It reminded me of, the other day, the big historic day of Donald Trump, President Trump, where he didn't really mechadish anything. The fact that Yerushalayim is the capital was no chiddush to any of the Jews or anyone in Israel, that much we knew. He was just kind of revealing to the rest of the world that which is already yaduah to us. So nothing changes in our everyday lives from our halachic perspective in terms of the kedusha. That always existed. It was really just opening up the eyes of everyone else, so those who are willing to pay attention. The whole thing is ludicrous, the fact that a country cannot decide where the capital is even though they have ownership of such a place. The whole thing is crazy. All he did was just reveal the Binyan Yerushalayim. It's already built up. We already live there. It's been ours for thousands of years, and he was just exposing it. So along the same lines, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, it already is built. It's just a matter of showing us the Binyan Ariel. Now, just so surreal, just seeing, I'm not sure any of you saw the Hanukkah dinner last night in the White House. They had a Hanukkah dinner. They invited people over. So just funny for me, seeing people there who I knew, of my age, Rav Soloveitchik, who was one of the speakers there, who I was with in NYU, And then his son-in-law and grandsons, Jared Kushner, who was there at the White House, the whole Hanukkah event, which is very strange. He was with me and Frisch. The whole thing, the last strange things going on in the world right now, and for me personally, but for everyone, with Donald Trump really creating so much turmoil in the world, but really just saying things how it is. And it's really, right now, working out great for the Yidden. It should continue to work out great for the Yidden. But a lot of strange things going on in the world right now, and we should just wait for that day of the Bin Ariel being revealed to us so we can really enjoy the coming of the Mashiach.
They said Congress had voted for this in the
90s. Yeah. I'm not getting involved in the political, but yeah. Fine.
Let's go.
Okay. Number two now. Yesh Lahavin. Madua Dafka Av Hashem Mechakim Lebin Ariel. So I don't love this question, but I like the idea, the answer much better. He wants to know why this was written, that only the Av Hashem are anticipating the Bin Ariel. Now, the simple reason is because if you don't love Hashem, you don't really are not interested in the Bin Ariel. So why the Dafka Av Hashem? So he suggests... It doesn't seem Yirei Hashem. It could be maybe that's the Kasha Ove versus Yirei. It could be maybe that's maybe part of the question. That's a stronger question. Why only the Ove Hashem, not the Yirei Hashem? That would make sense. Okay.
Ode Hashem.
Right. Okay. Out here. So let's see. So he answers as follows. V'nira shehu mishum shekasher yavo ha-Mashiach yigalu l'chol echad v'echad v'rabim es kol aveirosav u'boshes apanim tigdal mod. What's going to happen is we're all going to just be exposed, completely exposed. All the averos that we did, whatever they are, we all know what our averos are, we're going to be exposed completely. There's no hiding out anymore. All of Hollywood's going to be exposed. Everything's going to be exposed. All entertainment's going to be exposed. Each individual is going to be exposed at whatever they've been doing wrong for their entire life.
That's the reason
for Mashiach. So. Right. So look what he answers. Despite the fact that we're going to, everyone here, everyone in the world is going to be terribly embarrassed and ashamed for what they did, despite that fact, im kol zeh, Mitzapim anu l'bias Mashiach. We're willing to be embarrassed because we want Mashiach so bad. Ohav Hashem. That's how much we love Hashem. Mishim she'ikir ritzoneinu hu she'ashchinu hakdosha tigal migalusa. We want it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to redeem us from our galus. And that much we want a lot more, and we're willing to take the hit, the embarrassment. And lefikach, dafka ohav Hashem, she'enim chasim akvodim. They don't care about themselves. They love Hashem so much. They're willing to give up on their own kavod, hema hamechakim lebinyan ariel. They're the ones who are anticipating the Beis Hamikdash, the rebuilding, the coming of the Beis Hamikdash. Ki ikar cheftam. Their primary desire and interest in this world is laokme shchinasa meafra, to bring up the shchina from the dirt. There's the kedushas Mordechai, and they could care less about their embarrassment. So now I'm going to add on further. It's not only that they don't care about their shame. We're all going to be in this together. We're all going to be shamed. So everyone's standing there together, ashamed, so you're not any more embarrassed than I am. And it really neutralizes the point. And it reminds me of one of the classes I took when I was in Smicha. We took a class with Dr. Pelkovitz about therapy and how to provide therapy. None of us are, unless you went through the schooling, none of us, no rabbis are really educated in therapy unless they have a degree. But Dr. Pelkovitz gave us some pointers, just basics, to how to understand different situations, how to deal with it. And the number one thing he said, most important thing in therapy, is to normalize the issue. Everyone who's struggling through some inyan, whatever the inyan is, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a mental issue, whether it's a marital issue, whether it's whatever the issue is, number one thing is to normalize the issue so the person doesn't think that he's strange, he's different. Everyone has problems. Not everyone has the same problem. So the problem that I'm having might not be the same problem that you're having, so I think I'm different. Only I've got this issue. You have your other issues, but my issue is unique. So that's why there are a lot of these organizations that bring together people who have similar issues. So now they could commiserate with each other and they could sympathize with each other and share in their same troubles. People who are suffering from certain diseases or cancer, whatever it might be, they are trying to connect them with other people who are suffering those same illnesses or have survived those same illnesses so they could really figure out and sympathize and support them with their own struggles.
Misery loves company.
Right.
Nobody said it's called validation.
But it's hard, if you're going to share misery with someone who doesn't appreciate it, they're going to think they're not interested in hearing you. But if you have someone who went through the same exact tsara that you had, that's why these organizations, women, let's say, who have fertility issues, so they get them together so they could speak to each other so they could really understand what they're going through and the types of struggles. And there are many organizations like this. There's probably a need for more for similar types of issues. That's the idea of addictions also. People who are suffering from certain addictions, they get together in groups that I'm not the only one suffering from alcohol, from drugs, whatever it might be. They get together that there are others who struggle with this. So in the times of Mashiach, I think even though it's at first seems to be embarrassing, it's not going to be as embarrassing as we'd imagine, because everyone here in the world has certain things that they're struggling with and certain averas that they've flawed in. And we're all going to come together that we love Hashem so much, we're willing to ignore those and of course become better. But our focus is on the Oav Hashem and the coming of the Mashiach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, this next point is something that we spoke about in the beginning, I think the first shiur, maybe even the first two shiurim, about the koach of Shabbos. So number three, this is from the Tefer Shlomo. I wasn't able to get the next part. I'll finish off the rest of the piece on my own, but I'll say it out loud. Yesh Lahavin, he asks here in the bottom, number three, Madua Yesh Lamachkim Lebinyan Ariel Lishsos Lismach B'Shabbos. Why are they so happy about Shabbos? Those who are anticipating the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Sisu V'Simchu, B'Yom HaShabbos Kovdash, Sisu V'Simchu. They're so happy in Shabbos. It's a contradiction. Halo, O lo niv the Beis HaMikdash, Adayin lo Allah chepsim b'yadam. These people are waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. Right? Hamachakim lebinyan ariyah. And Shabbos comes, they're so excited. Biram, Hashchina, what?
Mikabel, as if they accepted something. Right.
But the problem is, Biram, Hashchina, Kadosha, Shor B'tochenu B'Yom HaShabbos. So what's the question? The Beis HaMikdash hasn't been built yet. So if their whole goal in life is to have the Beis HaMikdash built, Shabbos comes, they get excited, well, the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been built, and it can't be built on Shabbos. It's usher to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Bai Shlishi is not coming down from Shemayim on Shabbos. So what are they getting so excited about? Their dreams haven't come true yet. So it says the Tefer Shlomo, Biram HaShchina HaKadosha Shora B'tochenu B'yom HaShabbos. Kimo Bizman Beis HaMikdash. You know why they're so excited? Because there's a certain bechin of the Beis HaMikdash when Shabbos comes. It's me'ein olam haba. That's the idea. V'chol tikune v'aliyas ha'olamos shenasu ayidei akravos ha'karbanos Beis HaMikdash. And all the amazing things that take place when karbanos were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, all of them are being nasim b'shabbos ayidei tfilos ha'shabbos, and the rest I'll read. They're all being fulfilled on Shabbos. Ulefikach, therefore, hamachim lebinan Ariel, shsasim usmeichem yom haShabbos mishum hashras hashchina shebetochein. That Shabbos is a bechina of Olam Haba, it's a bechina of Beis HaMikdash, and that's why dafka those who are anticipating the Beis HaMikdash so soon, they are so much excited for Shabbos because it has that same bechina of Shabbos. Shabbos is lemala min ateva. It's even though it's number seven, Shabbos is the seventh day, it's really lemala min ateva. I'll share with you last night, there was a Fabregan for Yutes Kislev, even though Yutes was yesterday. Last night it was already Chav Kislev. So it was a Fabregan for the Baal Tanya, who was released from jail. So I'll share with you an idea that connects to this idea of Shabbos being lemala min ateva and Chanukah being lemala min ateva. And the Baal Tanya, of course, who started the Babacher movement, I'm connected to Lubavitch. My grandfather was Lubavitch before the war. After the war, he kind of lost that Misora. But I have a set of shas from my grandfather, from his grandfather, which connects me to my great-great-grandfather. And so Lubavitch has a certain connection. It's not a coincidence that it fell out in Kislev, the Yutes Kislev. Because Kislev is, of course, the Yontif of Chanukah. These are the days leading up to Chanukah. And Lubavitch have a very strong connection to the Indian of Chanukah. That's why they light menorahs all over the world, outside. So what's the connection of Chanukah and Lubavitch Yutes Kislev? So I just had some thoughts last night. I'll just share with you now that there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that says when you lay in the parsha of Parshas Naso, each day of Chanukah we lay in different karbanos from Parshas Naso. So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that you should start laying a few psukim earlier. Which psukim appear right before karbanos? Right. Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim is the beginning of the psukim we start reading from. And the idea is because Birchas Kohanim is a reference to the Chashmonayim who were Kohanim. They were Kohanim. And therefore, in praise to them and thanks to them, we say Birchas Kohanim to start the Kriyas HaTorah of Chanukah. So what's the word that's used when it says the tzivur to give a bracha? Kosev Baruch Hu. Chav is spelled chav hei. So chav hei might be another remez to chav hei Kislev, which is Chanukah, of course. Kohanim is spelled chav hei. Nun. Chav hei is, again, chav hei. Kohen has the bili of chav hei. Kosev Baruch Hu. The nun is double, 25, 50. So Kohanim have the ability to create bracha in this world. The number 25, Kosev Baruch Hu, has some koach of giving bracha. So what's the number 25? What does 25 mean? So if we take a look in other areas of Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking the Beis HaMikdash here, the number 24 is also a very big number. What's 24? So there's 24 Mishmaros. The 24 Mishmaros, the different weeks the Kohanim would work, they had 24 different groups, and each week would be a different post of the Kohanim. There are 24 Matnos Kahuna. There are 24 different gifts you give the Kohanim. You give them Truma, you give them Chatas, you give them Reish Dageis, the 24 different gifts that you give to the Kohanim. The Gemara says a few places that in Tanakh, the 24 places where Kohanim are called Levim. So number 24 is very much connected to the Kohanim, as is the number 25. So what's 24, what's 25? So I think the answer is based on the Maharal. The Maharal famously says, what's the number 8? Why is 8 days of Chanukah? Because Chanukah is Lamal Minateva. Chanukah is all about Shmona, Shemen, it's the same lashon as Shmona, oil is Shmona. Chashmonayim, it starts with the letter Ches, which is Shmona. In the word Chashmonayim is Shmonim, 80. So we see 8 is all over the place of Chanukah, because 8 is Lamala min HaTeva. Well, I said Shemen, yeah. So, just like 8 is Lamala min HaTeva, 8 is more than the 7 days a week, 8 is outside of that realm. There are 24 hours a day. 25 is Lamala min HaTeva on a daily basis. So although Chanukah on a global basis, on a weekly basis, there's always an extra day, which is kind of like Shabbos, which is Lamala min HaTeva. On a, if you focus in on every single day, Chanukah and Kohanim, the ability to give a bracha on every single day, there's one thing to add an extra day on the week. But to add an extra hour in every single hour, Lamala min HaTeva, that's a whole other level. That's what Kosev Baruch Hu. That's why there's a mitzvah for Kohanim to give a bracha every single day. Kosev Baruch Hu, every day to give a 25th hour, to add Lamala min HaTeva every single day. That's the Indian of Kohanim, which is the Indian of Chanukah, which is, I think, the Indian of Lubavitch as well. Because what do they do? What does it mean, Lamala min HaTeva? It's finding the hidden secret, the panemius of every single person out there, which is what Lubavitch do. They find every Jew in the world and try to elevate them and have them do a mitzvah, wear tefillin or eat matzah or shake a lulav, whatever it is, they are all over the place trying to find every hidden light in the world and to elevate it to a whole nother level. So that's the Indian of Shabbos, which is Lamala min HaTeva. It's the Indian of Chanukah. It's the Indian of a menorah. The Svarim point out that there's certain wicks and oils that you cannot use for Shabbos because it might flicker and you might adjust it on Shabbos. But when it comes to Chanukah, you could use any type of oil, any type of wick. There is no restriction of what you could possibly use. What's the idea? Because Chanukah take everything, even that which is puzzle, and elevate it to a whole other level. You light a fire, a wick, the flame goes up. It elevates everyone, takes everyone to a whole new level. So that's the Indian of Lubavitch, that's the Indian of Chanukah, that's the Indian of Shabbos, really going Lamala min HaTeva. So that's why the Teresh Shlomo is explaining those who are really waiting for Shabbos, rather for the Bin Ariel, the waiting for the Beis HaMikdash, they could really appreciate Shabbos because they could see that whole other level that's completely Lamala min HaTeva. Okay, let's go now to page number 4. This next piece is from the Yismach Yisrael. He asks the question, Isuya Dechem Kodesh, the Zemer says that you should lift up your holy hands, which also, of course, is a reference perhaps to Birchas Kohanim. He doesn't take that route, though. He explains that this is Hitfila Vatechina. What's that word there? Bimei HaMaisa. Kaloshin HaKasov. This is the way, when you lift your hands, that's a reference to davening. Harimosi Yadi, when a person lifts his hands, the Targum Onkelos explains, what does that mean to raise your hands? Aramas Yadei Bitsela, which is a Aramaic for tefillah. Lifting your hands is a lashon of tefillah. Birchas Kohanim is also a type of tefillah, lifting up the Kohanim's hands. So what's going on here? Shebimei HaChol, during the weekday, Anu Mevakshin Umispalin LaHashem Alkol Tarchenu. During the week, we're davening for Hashem, from Hashem, to give us parnasa, to give us simcha, to give us children, mechanecha children, mitzvahs, Everything we want. Ach b'yom haShabbos Kodesh, Baruch Hashem asher nasa menucha l'amo Yisrael. We don't daven. We don't lift our hands. During the week, we're su yudeichem kodesh, v'amru l'keil, but on Shabbos, we thank Hashem for giving us menucha. We don't have to daven. Why? Ein anu mevakshin u'mischanim al tzarchenu. We don't ask for things on Shabbos. Ela Shabbos hi melizog u'refua krova level. Shabbos is naturally, has that ability to provide refua, to provide what we need. V'zu hi menucha l'amo Yisrael. There's this natural davening. It just comes automatic. Our connection to Shabbos, our connection to the Beis HaMikdash, our connection and Dveikus Hashem becomes very natural. And all our tefillahs are almost asked for on its own, and there's no need for it to ask something. And that's what it means. Gam Suyudeichem, even though we're raising our hands Kodesh during the week, on Shabbos we don't raise our hands, we dafka don't ask Bakashos on Shabbos. Let's go down to the bottom now, at page number five, on page four. We're going to go to the next page as well. This piece is from the Beis Yisrael. Dor she'Hashem misyachsim achar Avram Avinu. The Dor she'Hashem, those who seek Hashem, are misyaches, are connected back in Yichus, in their lineage to Avram Avinu. Mishum, why is Avram Avinu, why is Dafka Dor she'Hashem have Yichus to Avram? What's the connection? Because Avram Avinu, hayu harishon she'doresh es Hashem me'atmo. He was the first one to seek out Hashem. Shekein av lo limdu v'rav lo hayalo. He had no father who taught him. He had no rebbe who taught him. Ela halach v'darish mi'atzmo lahakir es bal habir. He was the first one to be dorshe Hashem. He was mamish all on his own, dorshe Hashem. I share with you a beautiful chidush harim. I apologize for those who are going to be here tomorrow for the drasha, but I couldn't pass up on it. It's a great ma'isa I'm going to share today, and I'll repeat for tomorrow. Those who want to hear, repeat. Those who don't, so don't. So the pasuk says in the Parshas Lech Lecha that in describing how Avram left from to go to Eretz Yisrael, Lecha Me'artecha, Mimoladecha, and he tells him all the wonderful things going to happen to him in Eretz Canaan. And one of the promises Hashem says is V'nivrchu v'cha, that they're going to bless you. Says Rashi. Rashi says that people are going to bless their children to be like Avram. I want my son to be like Avram, my daughter to be like Sarah. So the Chiddush HaRim jokingly said, everyone wants their children to be like Avram, but they still want to be like Terach. They still want to live the life of Terach and live a party life. That's what it likes. So that's the idea that Avram was the first one to seek out Hashem. His father never taught him. He was a Dorshe Hashem. Dorshe Hashem, that means you're a Zer Avram. So I've been to Bnei Brak, I think maybe 3 times in my life. So I was zochet to be there once for Shabbos when I was in Eretz Yisrael for the year. And I was learning, when we learned in HaKotel, so they had matched us up with different Bachrim from the Mir. So I learned with a guy whose name is Bensi Schechter. I see him once in a while. It's been a few years. I think he works for Torah Mesorah now or something. So he had some very good connections back then already. And he took us to a house in Bnei Brak for Shabbos. Now this house was an amazing house, just in terms of the Gashmias. It was a house in Bnei Brak that had a pool and sauna in the basement of this house. Now, I sometimes when I think about this, I think I'm making it up. It maybe never really happened, because I can't imagine anyone having that. I know it exists, but let alone in Bnei Brak. So this man, again, this goes back 20 years or so. The individual, he was British. He was obviously very successful. I think retired early, and he and his wife and family moved to Bnei Brak and lived there in this beautiful house. So my only experience in Bnei Brak was only very lavish, and that's not what it's normally like in Bnei Brak. So anyways, he shared a drasha, which I never forgot, that Friday night, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around completely. I don't fully agree with every aspect of it, but he asked the following question. The question he asked was, and I think he was reading from a sefer, though. He asked us, why are the three greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael, Avram, Moshe, I agree with that, but then he said Yisro. That much I didn't agree. Now, at the time, I didn't know enough to disagree with him. But Avram, Moshe, and Yisro. Now, this is an interesting question overall. Who was showing me this? Someone here? That they had asked the number of Rabbanim if they had to choose which three people to have a Suda Shabbos with, who it would be with. Right? So they asked different people. Rabbi Weinberg said his wife and his parents. Some people said Abraham Lincoln and, I don't know, President Trump. Who knows what people said? Different funny things. The Arizal, Baal Shem Tov. Everyone had their own three. So I don't know who the top three greatest rabbis are of all time, not for me to judge. But I certainly wouldn't put Yisro up there. Lani is daiti. In the end of the day, his message was still an important message. He asked, that being the case, assuming that's correct, what's in common between Avram, Moshe, and Yisro? They all grew up in the house of Avodah Zarah. Avram in the house of Terach, Moshe in the house of Paro, and Yisro in the house that he grew up. And the message, I think he was, I guess, trying to tell us Americans, I don't think he was saying we grew up in a place of Avodah Zarah necessarily, but we grew up in a place that wasn't Bnei Brak, that was for certain. And he was trying to tell us, I guess, even though, I don't remember what he said or what I twisted him to say. My understanding was what I remember, but it could be wrong, not what he meant. I was saying, you have to appreciate the entire world to really appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu. I came from a place where I was going to college, and I went to school, I studied, and I took school very seriously. You know, I took AP Math and AP Physics and AP Stat. I did all these things. I was very studious. And so my understanding was that you have to really be exposed to the world and appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu and everything. Now, it's not certainly encouraging to go to Avodah Zarah, a place where you shouldn't go, but the point he was saying was that you could see a Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. And you could, just because they were able to see what was wrong in the world, made them much greater leaders. Now, never will we put anyone through that lichatchila, but once a person is able to go through such a situation, such a nisayon, and come out whole, he becomes a great leader, because he could see what the other side's like. He could appreciate everyone else's struggle. That was, I think, what he was trying to say to us. So a person who's Dorshe Hashem, one who seeks out Hashem, despite any of your surroundings and upbringings and different challenges, you're Zer Avram. You have that same koach of Avram to be able to overcome all these different challenges. Yeah, true. Rivka, Rachel, right, that's true. Lavan and Lot and Besuel. Yeah. True. They all did. Now, the other explanation, what's really brought down in the Svarim HaKadoshim as to why this is the case, after learning a little bit more over the past 20 years, where they explain why Avram Dafka came through this, and Sarah came through her family, and Rachel and Rivka, and everyone came through these families. Well, firstly, because nothing existed before. Pashup Shat, no, there's no other option. It had to be that way. But still, we have many times where tzaddikim come from houses that were not how you would expect it. Now, not to say anything about my in-laws, of course, but I've got very chashuv brother-in-laws. And, you know, they went to Haftar, and very chashuv. So, you know, the way they were raised was, and I give a lot of credit to my in-laws, but one who goes to Haftar typically is not a person who's writing 35 svarim now on all of Yerushalmi. It doesn't happen normally. And I do give my in-laws all the credit. And to the point where Rav Asher Arieli, the top magid shir in the Mir, so my brother-in-law learned by him for 7-8 years or so. And someone was asking advice from him where to send his kids to yeshiva out in the five towns. I don't know why he was asking Rav Asher that question. But Das Torah. So he asked him, and he said, you should probably send to Haftar. Ruvi Schwartz went to Haftar. And he was serious, because he had no idea. He didn't know what Haftar was, a Halb or a Darche or a BBY. He didn't know any of these places. So, because Haftar doesn't produce people like that. No one produces people like that. It just doesn't happen. People who are such, my brothers, Mamish and Eloy. So, but the idea that they explain in the Svarim is to why such neshamas come down in families that may not be like them, is because when a special neshama comes down to this world, there's a lot of fighting. They speak about when the Baal Shem Tov came down in the world, up in Shemayim, there's a lot of fighting going on that we can't let this neshama come down to the world. We can't allow this tzidkus and chassidus to come to the world. They would go against it. And the only way to kind of go around, again, this is a very deep conversation, of course, but the only way to circumvent all the fighting up in Shemayim is to kind of go backdoor. What's the backdoor? We could appease the different malachim who are against it, where we'll put him in this terrible family, this family that's Avodah Zarah, in the house of Terach. He won't be anyone great in the house of Terach. And so then Malach looks the other way, right? Who could become anything in the house of Terach? So they drop the neshama in this house of Terach, and then boom, explodes a person like Avram Avinu. Boom, explodes a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Yisro. It happens because that's the only way somehow to go back door to get a special neshama into this world. Okay, let's go now to number six. Number six, he asked the question, Yesh Lahavin, Madua Tala Hapayit Es Mitzvahs Tosefa Shabbos, right? The Zemer says, Hama'achim Lates Min HaShabbos, those who delay ending Shabbos, U'mimaharim Lavo, and are quick to bring on Shabbos. It's another way of saying Tosefa Shabbos. You have Tosefa Shabbos, you start Shabbos earlier, and you end Shabbos later. So he wants to know, this is the Sidurei Shel Shabbos, why are they connecting Tosefa Shabbos Dafka to Avram Avinu? Biram, Midas Bal HaChesed Hu, Laharbos Chesed Yoser Michivo. How do you define a person as Bal Chesed? A guy who gives a dollar to tzedakah every single day, he's not Bal Chesed. He gives tzedakah, He does what he's supposed to do. He gives a quarter or whatever he's giving. That's not called a Baal Chesed. He's giving tzedakah like you're supposed to do. A Baal Chesed is a person who does above and beyond what he's supposed to be doing. V'af libo bo'er birkirbo me'emas ha'yizdamon li'odo l'hotiv im'acherim. He's so connected to Chesed that he has this burning desire inside to wait for the next chance he has to do a Chesed. That's the definition of a Baal Chesed. V'hi ha'yisa midasa shel Avraham Avinu alav ha'shalom. Sheyoshev al Pesach ha'Oel kechom hayom, as we know, he waited in the heat of the sun, liros ha'am ha'im yesh orchem hayom. Despite the fact that he was uncomfortable and in pain, he still had this burning desire to be involved in Chesed. Utchila shalach es Eliezer liros es ba'al orchem. He sent Eliezer out. Uchshebav amar shelo hisdamnu orchem. There are no guests today. It's too hot out. Lo heminu. He didn't trust him. V'halach ba'asmo liros b'mo'enav. He went out on his own to look for guests. So as we all know, this is the prototype of a Baal Chesed, Avram Avinu. That's the same inyan. Whenever you are adding something on, when you have a great desire for something, you add on. Shabbos comes automatically from Le'ela, from Shemaim. Whether we like it or not, Shabbos is here. Lelo Ma'aseh Yodeinu doesn't involve our participation. We don't have to start Shabbos. We call Malkum when a person Anu Marim, we show Shechashka Nafshenu, our desire, our nefesh is so much desiring Sheyehei Af Chelkenu B'mitzvah Shabbos that we want to participate as well. V'osin Mashiv B'chalaseinu to accomplish what we're capable of. L'hosiv Chelak Mishalanu B'mei Acholin Chulin Al Shabbos. That's what it means. Avraham Avinu represents a person who has a cheshek to accomplish something. How do you show the cheshek? By going above and beyond. How does a person show he loves to learn? By waking up early in the morning to learn, before you have to. Or you're staying out late, Tosef HaShabbos in the morning, Mehar and Lavo, Umemach and Latzes, and delay leaving. That's how you show you love learning. How do you show you love davening? You show up early. You don't show up 5 minutes late. You don't even show up on time. If you really love davening, you show up early, get ready, put on tefillin, say karbanos. That's how you show you love something, when you do something above and beyond. How do you show you love a spouse? You do something above and beyond. You get them a nice gift. You get them flowers for Shabbos. And if you're getting them flowers every Shabbos, you'll get them something special once in a while. You need to do something that's tosefes, that's added on to whatever is expected. That's how you show love for something. So the way we show love for Shabbos is by starting Shabbos early and ending Shabbos late. And that's the bechina of Zer Avram. That's a mid that we learn from Avram, how one shows love is by adding on to something that we don't have to add on to. Yeah?
My father-in-law Shalom asked the Kasha that, you know, question that thousands of others asked. How come it says first it's the pasuk is reversed?
So we'll get it right now. So, excellent. Okay. What he had to answer?
So my father-in-law Hashem used to say, look, if you use Shabbos as your starting point, if Shabbos is your starting point, then you don't want to get out of Shabbos. Hama'achem that says, you start first by being in Shabbos already, make your life be connected to Shabbos, be in Shabbos, then you don't want to leave it. And once you've left, you can't wait to get back into Shabbos. I don't know where you quoted it, but that he just...
Let's see if one of the answers might be like that. Let's see. So number 7 was Moshe's question here of how come it's out of order. Right? The Zemer says, Ma'achem latzeis min haShabbos, and then only afterwards, Ma'achem lavo. It says, delaying Shabbos and then ushering in Shabbos. It should say, first, when Maharin Lavo, you start Shabbos early, and then it should say, Ma'achem Latzeis, and you delay the ending of Shabbos. That's number 7. I just said that outside. Look at number 8 for an explanation. Number 8, this is the Beis Yaakov, he says, Adam HaRishon Nivra Be'erev Shabbos. This is just a more of a historical point, a chronological point. Adam HaRishon was created on Erev Shabbos, as we know. He wasn't aware of such a concept of Shabbos. He just practically didn't know that Shabbos was coming to add on to Shabbos. Only when he experienced Shabbos, Hashem said, oh, by the way, Shabbos is right now. So now he experienced Shabbos. So now he says, oh, wait a second, I love this day. This is a nice day. So then afterwards, he delayed Shabbos. So in order of how it happened in history, he first was Me'achim Latzeis, and only the next Shabbos that came around was he able to Me'maharim Lavo. V'chein Yisrael B'matan Torah. We have a similar idea. When we accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, Lo Yadu B'mitzvah Tosef HaShabbos. We weren't aware of it. The concept didn't exist yet. Ela Al La'acha Shenitna Torah B'Shabbos B'Sinai. We received the Torah on Shabbos. Shavuos that year was a Shabbos. So we received it on Shabbos. So when did we receive it? On the morning. So Friday night, they knew of Shabbos, They got Shabbos at Mara, as one of the mitzvahs given, but apparently he's suggesting that Tosefa Shabbos wasn't given just yet. So Friday night was a regular Shabbos. Shabbos morning, they get the Torah. They learn this concept of Tosefa Shabbos, the Nimsa Shetchila Sekia Mitzvahs Tosefas Mechol HaKodesh Lahayisa Ela B'yitzisa Shabbos. They were only able to invoke the concept of Tosefa Shabbos when they left Shabbos at the end. So that's an interesting chronological point. Now, the next answer, also number 9, is also similar, it's a very nice idea, but also similar in a historical point here. What he says is, in number 9 at the bottom here, Tam Tosefas Chol Al HaKodesh. What's the basis, what's the reason for Tosefas Shabbos? The reason is, Mishum Safek Shema Nichnasa Shabbos. We don't know when Shabbos is. We have no idea. We're not able to exactly calculate out, now is Shabbos, but now it's Chol, and a second later is Shabbos. We just don't know. And since Shabbos is a very serious day, it's Chayv Skila, we don't want to violate Shabbos, so we need a little buffer. We need to start a little earlier, lest we violate Shabbos. L'fi she'ein adam yodea b'beirur ha'itim v'azmanim. No man knows the exact time of Shabbos. V'yesh lachash, there's concern. Shema yavo l'chal Shabbos, we might violate Shabbos. Aval Yisrael b'midbar, when we were in the Midbar, lo hutzarchu l'kayim mitzvah tosefa Shabbos, we didn't need this buffer. Why? Me'achar shekozman shehaya Moshe benu chai. So long as Moshe was alive, hayu yodim emasai ba v'yotzeis b'Shabbos api amud ha'esh. When Moshe was alive, we had the amud ha'esh, we had the nani akavod. These were signs for us when the day changed from day to night, right? The nani akavod was there during the daytime. The amud ha'esh was there nighttime. So the moment they saw the changing of the guard, the ha'esh was coming down, the nani akavod was going up. That tells me it's Shabbos now. Into the end, when the Nani, same thing, a Nani Akavod was going up, and the Eish was coming down, that tells us Shabbos is over. So we had very clear symbols in the Midbar when Shabbos started and when Shabbos ended. So there's no need for Tosefa Shabbos.
But there's very little warning. I mean, let's say you're in the Midbar, Shabbos is given already, you're getting ready, you don't know exactly.
Cold turkey.
Clouds gone.
Yeah, in Hanami, you're in the shower, shower's off. Yeah, in Hanami, fine, granted.
To that point, on the footnote on the bottom, this is Tezvah, he brings it to Pnei Shua, it says it's actually in the middle when they realize that Tosefa Shabbos is needed because the Amud Eish would arrive a little beforehand.
Aha. Interesting. I say it was brought earlier, according to the Pnei Shua. Okay, very good. That's what he continues to say here. Shekein b'tchilas halayla hayabam miyad Amud Eish. When the night started, the Eish came immediately. They knew exactly when it started and when it ended. So they wouldn't need any type of buffer. When Moshe died, he died at Shabbos, Mincha time. It's a big Indian. It's brought down in the post, and there's some halachas related to this. The neshamas and Gehenna have been drinking water. Not for now. But Moshe Rabbeinu died Shabbos afternoon. V'nistalik amud ha'esh. And the Eish left, the Anani HaKavod left. So LaYadu Eimasa Yotzei Shabbos. They didn't know when Shabbos was over. VeHechilu LaHosiv Mechol HaKodesh B'Yitziyasa. Since they didn't know anymore, they had to add on to Tosefa Shabbos on the end. V'Alkein Hiktim Apayit Es Hamachim LaTeish Minam Shabbos L'Makdimim V'Knisaso. You see, it's a similar answer to the previous one. Just again, historically, chronologically, they first had Tosefa Shabbos by the Yitzia, and then by the Knisa. It happened with Moshe. Happened with Har Sinai, and happened with Adam HaRishon.
You see, it's interesting. All those answers are very practical answers.
Yes.
What my father Lava Shalom said was very,
It is interesting. You should put it in. Add it in. He'll suffer.
I'm sure he got it from somebody.
Maybe we're looking for it. Isn't there a shot that if Adam HaRishon would have made it to Shabbos, then there would have been no need for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you're actually, if you would have been in Shabbos, as opposed to before Shabbos, then
you're in a problem. So you're saying that's why I say, have we gotten to the point of having to end it already? So that's
if you would have been in it.
Would have saved us.
We're looking forward to be in it.
Yeah. I hear. Let's do one last piece here from the Pnei Menachem, connected to the Parsha. The idea is, number 10. Od yesh lefarish. Al pi maimer harav hakadosh rebonim mifshischa she'avram avinu tikin tosefa Shabbos lacharea. That Avram was masakin tosefa Shabbos. How do we know this? Kimerumas bepasuk vayita Avram Eichel shehu rashi tevos achar Shabbos levaya. That this idea of Malav Malka escorting Shabbos afterwards, that's what Eichel meant. Avram was a mesakin Malav Malka of some sort, at least delaying the ending of Shabbos. Hare. Shemitzchila tikin Avram avinu mitzvah tosefa Shabbos alachare abilvad. Initially, Avram only made tosefa Shabbos at the end. This is also a chronological point here. Uch sheba Yaakov avinu lishchem hosted lasakin tosefa Shabbos lefaneh. When Yaakov arrived at Shechem, so then he made tosefa Shabbos even in the beginning. How do we know this? Shekein darshu b'medrash in Breishis Rabba mimashin emar vayichan es pnei ha'ir. He camped at the face of the city. Shenichnas Yaakov avinu im dimedume chama. He came in with the sun setting. B'kava tchumim v'od yom, and he set up tchumim from before Shabbos. Lefikach hektim ha'payit v'amar dorshe shem zer Avram o'avei o'avo lefisha Avram avinu tikin kodem tosefa Shabbos l'acharei. So also Pnei Menachem says chronologically, Avram was misakin the ending of Shabbos being delayed, and Yaakov was misakin ushering Shabbos earlier. So this too is a historical point. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, should we have next week also Hanukkah? People around? Yeah, why not? Okay, so we'll.
Just a public service announcement.